ready?
Should I give you a PowerPoint?
Whatever. Well, I mean, we can roll with paperwork. We're good. Okay. Welcome to Planning Commission. Thank you for being here. We are going to move the public comments to after the Zoom works in case there's anyone there that wants to make a comment, and we'll just move right to agenda item number 3, consideration of a site plan amendment approval for Spectrum Academy with Brad Nielsen as the applicant. Mackenzie.
This is going to be interesting without my supporting staff reports or site plan and zoning maps and everything. Oh, it's okay. You keep it. I made those. I made the zoning map and everything. I'll remember good enough. But alrighty. So this application is for Spectrum Academy. It's a site plan amendment to construct a new K-12 charter school at 552 North Cutler Drive. That property is 3.5 some odd acres in size and is zoned general commercial. The proposed school will be next to the existing high school on the same lot. It is for the STARS students, is what they call them. They are students that are on the further end of the spectrum and need additional help and care. The STARS school currently is operating out of 35 North Redwood Road, just down the street. And the goal of this whole thing is to bring all of the Spectrum campuses or all of the Spectrum schools onto one campus. The existing conditions of the property include, like I said, the existing high school, which is approximately 24,500 square feet, give or take. And then south of the school is a play field that is grass for the kids to use. That play field will be relocated onto the neighboring lot at 480 North Cutler Drive. You recently approved the Phoenicia Place subdivision, and that is one of the lots in the subdivision. The applicant will have to submit a separate site plan application for that playfield just due to the size and the type of use that is occurring there. So that is a recommended condition from the DRC. There are going to be 27 classrooms in the proposed building. Each classroom will have a maximum capacity of 12 kids for a grand total of 324 students, but the applicant has informed us they anticipate only about 150 students at this location. We did calculate parking based on what the maximum total could be, which is, again, that 324. So for every 15 students, or for every 15 STAR students, there will be one teacher or support staff member, meaning there will be approximately 22 to 27 teachers on staff at all times. The proposed school has two stories with approximate footprint of 16,500 square feet. As far as the review goes, the property has one existing driveway on Cutler Drive used to access the school. The applicant is proposing to create a new driveway that is 34 feet wide and approximately 28 feet from the southernmost property line. The applicant may need to add to widen the shoulder at that location just to add more of a radius for the egress. Right now on the site plan, it's super, it slopes in really quickly, and that's not compliant with our street standards. So the city engineer is reviewing that, and I believe she actually already redlined that on the plans as something they just need to fix that area. According to the applicant, like I said, these students are on the severe end of the spectrum and don't drive. They will be brought to and from school using the Spectrum's carpool system. And they will utilize the southernmost driveway. I wish I had the site plan so I could show you, but the southernmost driveway and then come in. And the way the parking is laid out, there's a way for them to go around and back out. The students are escorted to and from the parents' vehicles. And these students have a shorter work day, and so their time of getting out is different than the high school, so there shouldn't be any conflicting pickup drop-off times due to the two buildings being on that lot. So the city code requires that K-12 schools provide a minimum of 2 parking stalls per classroom with 1 stall per 5 seats in the auditorium. With the proposed building having 27 classrooms and no auditorium, they are required to have 54 parking stalls per that code. The applicant is proposing to provide 59 parking stalls, two of which are ADA compliant. Code requires that when you have 51 to 75 parking stalls, you provide three ADA. So one of the conditions for, or one of the recommended conditions from the DRC is that they update the site plan to have an additional ADA parking stall to be compliant with that code. Okay, so when the high school came through for approval, the Planning Commission had the applicant widen the shoulder on Cutler Drive to allow for additional stacking space, and that allowed for 15 cars. Since then, the applicant has informed us that that area is underutilized because there is so much room for stacking and queuing on the actual property, and that is shown in the site plan. If you guys look at the way, well, you guys might not actually have it on that site plan, but I could show you on the aerial image. There are arrows painted and they show how the cars stack and they go around the entire building. So we haven't had any problems with overflow into the street right there. And because of that, and because of the type of school this is and the amount of students that will be serviced here, the DRC is not requesting that the Planning Commission make a condition that more of that shoulder is widened. Now, with all that said, with the southern property, when that subdivision came through Phoenicia Place, we did make sure that they added, I think it's a 14-foot right-of-way dedicated to the city, so that if in the future we deem it necessary, that road could be widened. As far as landscaping goes, properties in the CG zone are required to do 15% landscaping. This applicant has provided 19.1%. And then the code says that no more than 5% or 5,000 square feet of that landscaped area can be sod or grass. But because this is a school and can be deemed for recreational uses, the DRC is recommending that the Planning Commission, with their authority, allow this applicant to exceed that requirement due to the bona fide recreational use of that sod. The only other thing to note with landscaping is the park strip is currently sod, and the DRC is recommending that at a future date, the property owner could, at their own discretion, come into compliance with our park strip code, but it's not something that is required as part of the site plan. And that's just a recommendation of the DRC. Architectural review, the proposed building meets everything as far as massing and materials. It's going to complement the existing structure on the property. They'll look pretty similar. They have the same architect, so I don't have any fear with them conflicting. And then, yeah, the DRC is recommending that the Planning Commission approve this site plan with the finding that the sod in excess of 5,000 square feet is a bona fide recreation area designated and approved by the Planning Commission. And the conditions that completion of all engineering and planning red lines, to provide one additional ADA compliant stall for a total of three, and three, submit a site plan for the playfield at 480 North Cutler Drive. And I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Great, thank you, Mackenzie. Anyone have questions for Mackenzie? Or the applicant, if there's questions for the applicant also. I have a question about the shoulder that is underutilized. Is that shoulder the one that is directly west of Lee's, or is that the one over by the Holiday?
The shoulder is south of the school, so it's on the same property. It's in front of the same property.
Right. So, but it's the comment that is saying that the existing school isn't utilizing the shoulder.
Can I come show you?
Yeah, that'd be great.
If we had this, I'd use my pointer.
Because the pickup situation that is directly across, like on the road,
so
with Lee's. Is not...
The Lee's over here.
Okay.
Their pickup shoulder is on Cutler right here.
Okay. And
it recording.
This is not the shoulder that they're saying.
No. It's this one right here for the high school. And
okay,
the reason
great.
For that is because you can see right here, the pickup routes around the building, and then there's two lanes right here. And so they have plenty of stacking space.
Okay, great. That was my only clarification that I wanted to see is, oh, good recovery.
We all have right. The rest of the Zoom is connected now. Everything's working.
Did they all just watch me almost die?
Yeah. All right. Mr. Nelson, if you want to join us at the microphone. Any other comments or questions or discussion on this application?
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommends approval of the site plan amendment, including the designated recreation area with sod in excess of the maximum 5,000 square feet, as provided by city code, for the Spectrum Academy STARS building located at 552 North Cutler Drive, with the finding that the sod in excess of 5,000 square feet is a bona fide recreation area designated and approved by the Planning Commission and subject to the conditions: one, completion of all engineering and planner red lines; two, provide one additional ADA compliant stall; and three, submit a site plan for the playing field at 480 North Cutler Drive.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. And do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Tucker. Any discussion or comment on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
But we didn't hear them, so let's pause. Oh, Commissioner Moss replied aye. Commissioner Jorgensen, can you please reply in writing, and then we'll figure out the volume? He also said aye, so okay. It passed.
All in favor passes. Thank you. All right.
Okay, so
thank you, Mr. Nielsen.
Thank you. All right. Can we pause the meeting for 1 minute to make sure these folks online can hear us?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Can I have one of you, maybe Commissioner Moss, can you hear us better now?
Yes, we can hear you, but as soon as one of us online talks, I can't hear anything anymore.
Okay, try
so
again.
Oh, yeah, that worked. Whatever you did, amazing work. Thank you.
We just muted ourselves.
Okay, but everyone can hear us loud enough. The volume doesn't need to be increased.
I can hear you great.
Okay, all right. Well, we did the first agenda item, and I'll turn it back over to the chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We will move to agenda item number 4, consideration of a conditional use permit for Pitted Logistics, and that's Mackenzie. And our applicant is joining us electronically. Yes. And can you hear us okay, Tyler?
Yep, I can hear you just fine.
Great.
Oh, cool. All righty, and we got our PowerPoint working. We're a well-oiled machine now. This is a conditional use permit application for 910 West Center Street. It is for Pitted Logistics, who is a third-party fulfillment company, primarily for e-commerce sales channels such as Amazon or Shopify. Daily operations include shipping, receiving, and light assembly of some packages. They primarily use carriers such as UPS, DHL, and FedEx, with the occasional semi-truck and trailer, not as frequent, but something to be noted. They primarily store and transport products for health and beauty, such as deodorant, serums, and other types of products that are non-hazardous and do not require refrigeration. The subject address is Zone General Commercial, where both electronic shopping and mail order houses and general warehousing and storage facilities are conditional uses. The business employs 10 people and then hires 10 to 20 people as workers, just as needed. The maximum number of employees or workers on highest shift will be 20, and the hours of operation are 6 a.m. to 11:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Code requires that warehouses with freight movement provide one parking stall per 1,000 square feet of floor area, or one stall per employee on highest shift, whichever is greater. So the applicant has informed us that The unit they are occupying is approximately 17,800 square feet in size, and the maximum number of employees on highest shift is 20. The business must provide 20 parking stalls to be compliant with that code, and of those stalls, one of which must be ADA compliant. The parking lot is shared by five different units or tenants. Right now, there's only one business operating already at this location, and they don't have a parking problem at all. The applicant has verified that they have access to at least 20 stalls at all times, even though it is a shared parking lot. The DRC had no concerns with the parking or the use at this location. And the DRC is recommending approval with no conditions. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Any questions for Mackenzie? These are up here on the top of that is a semi truck loading bay, right?
Yeah,
so
on the north side.
Have a flow there. Okay.
Yes, and they have additional parking in the back corner, but the applicant didn't designate that as their parking. They're primarily going to be up front.
So if UPS and DHL, et cetera, would they come into this loading area
yes,
here?
Yes, they have bay doors in the back.
Great. Any other questions for either Mackenzie or the applicant? If not, we can move to a motion.
I'll make a motion, Commissioner Tucker, that we approve the conditional use permit for Pitted Logistics LLC at 910 West Center Street, Unit 300, with no conditions.
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. Do we have a second?
Commissioner Holbrook, second.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 We got Jorgensen, and did we get Moss? Awesome.
Okay. Aye.
Passes. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for your patience getting to that agenda item today, Tyler. Hope things go well for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will backtrack to the public comments. This is any public comments from anyone here that is not pertaining to an agenda item. Just open up a time for that. Nobody here, nobody online that wants to say anything. Okay, we'll close the public comments and get that done. And we will move to agenda item number 5, consideration of a temporary use permit for UTA's dismantling and disposal of passenger rail cars. And we have Mr. Tai as the applicant, and is he joining us?
He's still online? Yes.
Online. Okay, great. Thank you. Mackenzie.
All righty. So I have the wrong staff report in front of me. UTA owns the property outlined on the screen, which is south of the I-15 215 interchange in just the last little leg of our city. That area does not have an official address, so we're just using the approximate one given on the staff report. The area is currently, like I said, owned by UTA and utilized for outdoor storage of rail support supplies. The yard is accessed probably 3 to 5 times a day from 1800 North down in Salt Lake City. There is no access coming out of North Salt Lake, and there are no full-time employees at this location. So UTA has a maximum of 25 passenger rail cars that they call Comet cars that are being retired due to their age. The number one goal of UTA is to have those cars auctioned off and not have to worry about them ever again. The auction they are putting those in starts October 17th and goes until November 17th. But as a backup plan, if the cars are not sold, then the applicant is requesting to dismantle and dispose of the cars at this location. I will show you now that zone manufacturing distribution, just so you know. This is what the property looks like from Beck Street. When I went and investigated, we parked right there and walked over. So you can see the cars there already. As far as the visibility goes, though, you wouldn't notice if you were just driving down Beck Street. There's enough of a separation there. So if allowed, the dismantling would begin as early as November 2nd, and it should last only a few months. But the applicant is requesting a temporary use permit for 6 months, just in case. We never know what happens. And the DRC felt comfortable with that request because this is It was submitted as a conditional use permit, but we're treating it as a temporary use permit where we tie a specific date to it. The applicant has provided a dismantling disposal plan for passenger and rail cars. I have provided that as part of your packet. It provides information such as contacts for operation, gates and access, scraps and waste recycling and storage, and then also spill response and everything in between. The applicant has confirmed that these cars do not contain any sort of oils or harmful liquids that could be a problem in the ground or if contaminated. And also that area that they will be dismantling in is hard surfaced and paved. In addition to that, the harmful things that are coming out of this are going to be the batteries and the fluorescent light tubes, which will be disposed of appropriately. And they actually have a storage plan of when removed, they will be placed in a secure area until they can be disposed of. The city engineer and fire marshal have reviewed that plan and both felt like it was sufficient and did not see any concerns with moving forward with the temporary use. Here is a map of where the access is coming off of down on 1800 North. And the applicant does expect more traffic coming in and out of that road, even though it's not in our city. I just thought I would bring that up. Because there will be trucks leaving the property with the debris to be disposed of. So the DRC is recommending approval of this temporary use permit with the condition that the permit be valid for a maximum of 6 months with an end date of April 11, 2023. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
That's great. Thank you, Mackenzie. Any questions for Mackenzie or Mr. Tai, who's online from the commission? Sounds like an exciting process to me, actually. Like, I would want to drive by and watch it happening. But it's nice that it's not a forever thing. If there's no comment or questions for either staff or Mr. Tai, we can move to a motion.
Just for my own understanding, you mentioned it's more of a temporary use permit because there's a time frame associated with it.
Yeah.
But we're treating it as a conditional use. Is there actually a separate, are those two different things?
We don't have two different applications, which is why I said conditional use, because he submitted it as a conditional use permit and paid the $25 application fee and filled it out because the information on there was pertinent to what we were requiring. But when I actually make him a permit, normally it would say conditional use permit on it. I'm going to use that same form, but I'm going to change it to say temporary. And then we are going to, like I said, rely very heavily on that date and that timeline for how long it's active. So
understood.
Does have an expiration.
Great. I'm also just realizing I'm saying this applicant's name wrong. I thought that was an I at the end of the name, but it's Tal, right? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Chantal? Sorry, I said that wrong. all right. Any other questions or a motion?
Commissioner Holbrook, I move that the Planning Commission approve the temporary use permit for UTA's dismantling and disposal of passenger rail cars, Comet cars, at the UTA-owned property south of the I-215-I-215 interchange with the following conditions. The permit be valid for a maximum of 6 months with an end date of April 11th, 2023.
Thank you, Commissioner Holbrook. And do we have a second?
Commissioner Stone, I second.
Thank you. Any comment or discussion on that motion? All in favor, aye.
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 Okay. Aye.
Jorgensen and Moss online with ayes. It passes. Great. Thank you. Good luck with that. I hope that goes well for you and you have success in the auction and dismantling. Great. Thank you, Sean. We will move to number six, report of City Council action items.
I'm just going to stay up here because the first thing Sherry can add into, but I put it on there because I'm tracking it and I want to make sure we all know where we're at. So state statute requires that planning commissioners have 4 hours of training per fiscal year. One of those hours needs to be on the general powers and duties plus the 3 hours of any applicable training. So Chair Larson, Commissioners Tucker, Jorgensen, and Holbrook have all completed the three-hour requirement because some of you spent 8 to 16 hours at the fall conference. So I believe you'll still need to do the general powers and duties training, but I'll figure that out for sure and send you out the link. It's just the one-hour training through the LUDMA, correct? And I said that right. Luau. It's actually through Luau, right? Either way, I'll send you the link.
Which, that's probably the one I had to do to start,
and
wasn't it?
Guess what? That was last fiscal year, so you get to do it again.
When does the fiscal year start?
July. So it goes July 1st, 2022 to June 30th, 2023. So, like I said, I just wanted to bring it up as a reminder to you guys. So for those who didn't attend APA Fall Conference, if you would like some more information on trainings or accessible websites that you can do those online, you're welcome to email me and I can try to set you up with some. But we do have time. We have until June. Just be aware of it.
Is there anything coming up that would satisfy that we would be invited to any other conferences or?
We don't know of any yet, but when we come through, we will certainly forward them to you.
Normally, and after a legislative update, in like May-ish, there's a whole slew of them that come out that we're going over what was updated in that last session. And like Commissioner Jorgensen got crazy and went to almost every single one. We love it. Not crazy. He went to more of them than I did. But those are options too. So just be mindful.
Well, and the spring conference of APA would also qualify, right?
Yes, absolutely. Do we know where they're doing it this year?
Go to the next conference for
that.
You would
just have to travel to that wherever it's at. Do you know it's going to be this year?
Yeah, APA Queen.
I don't know where it's going to be, but we are doing our retreat to start planning it in November. So then I'll probably know.
Okay. Retreat. All righty. Well, that wraps it up for me. So, Sherry.
Okay, I'll just start with I'm going to talk about the annexation in just a minute, but I'll talk about the other things. The last week on the City Council's agenda, we had the North Lake Industrial Park plat amendment that was approved by the City Council. The Eaglewood Cove Phase 15 plat 1, that was also approved for final plat. The ordinance for Clifton Place townhomes, those were approved, as well as the preliminary plat. So though they will be moving forward with that and come back to us with a final plat. And the you didn't know about this one, but we had another plat that the City Council had to sign because it was a subdivision in Woods Cross, and we own a piece of property that extends into the right-of-way and overlaps the right-of-way that was being dedicated to Woods Cross, so we had to take action to dedicate our portion of the right-of-way of our property that was in the right-of-way, so it didn't need to come to you to the Planning Commission first. Okay, so as far as the big elephant in the room, the annexation, the City Council last Tuesday adopted the resolution 3-2 was the vote to continue on with this process, and the resolution basically says that it is the intent of the City Council to consider an annexation of this area. That starts the public process, our public comment process. So we will be sending out our notices to the residents and to the property owners in that area. That's what's required at the City Council level. Their resolution did direct the Planning Commission to make a recommendation to the City Council regarding our recommendation on the zoning for this area when and if it is annexed. To that end, what I would like to do is have a work session at your next meeting where we will have some maps prepared for you and we'll make some staff recommendations, and then you can direct us what changes you would like us to make, and we will then hold a public hearing if you are all available on Wednesday, November 9th. Normally we would not have canceled our meeting in November, but because of the election day is always the first Tuesday after the first Monday, so that means it became the second Tuesday of the month, which is usually Planning Commission night. So if that's acceptable to you, then that will be how we'll move forward with that. What we did last week, we had an open house on Wednesday at Adelaide Elementary. where I think it turned out really well. I think we had a lot of people that came to learn about, at least from our table, where we did planning and zoning table. They had it set up so that each one of the departments had a different table and station so you could come and talk to them rather than do the whole panelist and people standing at the microphone and, you know, voicing their opinions. Instead, we had it more informational for them to meet staff as well as the city council members. And we had one county commissioner there to just get a face to who we are, hopefully dispel some of the rumors and conspiracy theories out there that we are the devil or something. I'm not really sure. And so that I could clear up that I'm really not against backyard marshmallow roasting. Mm-hmm. I have not in any way initiated a code amendment that would outlaw backyard marshmallow roasting. But I think it went really well. I mean, the majority of the people came in. They wanted to vent a little bit. A few of the people, there was one gentleman who was very upset and screaming and yelling. And we had to call a sheriff's deputy to you know, just make sure he stayed in check. I don't know when they called. I just saw him later in the meeting. So I'm really not sure how long it took that. But it was interesting while he was screaming at the entire crowd and saying that this was tyranny and all that kind of stuff. The gentlemen that were talking to me actually verbalized that they were very embarrassed by some of their neighbors and that they apologized and thanked us for what we were doing, trying to make this process as easy as possible for them. And, you know, at least the least amount of painfulness that we can probably muster is what we're going for. But I think it was a fairly successful event. We had some good comments and some good feedback. We've asked the people that came to the meeting as well as online to go to the public comment. There's a QR code, or you can click the link on our website and you can submit your comments. And specifically when they call and ask us, well, my zoning is this, what's it going to be when I'm in the city, we've said, well, what can you tell us what it is that you want your zoning to be, or what specific issue it is that you're concerned about? Some people are concerned about, will I be able to have chickens, or will I be able to have an ADU, or will I be able to have a duplex? Will my duplex be grandfathered in, or, you know, those types of things. And so we've asked them to specifically go and tell us what it is. If they want their neighborhood, they'd prefer it to be a single family zone, or would they prefer to have it be a duplex zone? Because one of the issues that we have is that the R1 zone in the county is a 9,000 square foot minimum lot size, and our R110 is a 10,000 square foot lot size. So we would have some lots as they came in that would be legal nonconforming. But if we assigned it to an R17, the minimum lot size is 7,000 square feet, but it also then allows duplexes, whereas before they just were allowed single family dwellings. So one of the options that we have is we have three options. We could designate that as R17, we could designate it as R110 and have some nonconforming lots, or we could write a new zone. We could do an R19 or something similar to what they already have in place as far as lot sizes go. So we're exploring those issues. We're trying to figure out which is best. I'm trying to figure out how many duplexes, ADUs, single family dwellings there are, because we have the property list from the county that they gave us for all the notices, but it didn't include which lots had a duplex or an ADU. And the code, state code specifically says we have to notify not just the property owners, we have to notify the residents because they will be affected. So all the renters that are in there. So we've had to, even Mackenzie and I drive around and look at mailboxes to see if there was an A or a B or a 1 or a 2. Some of the units we knew were fourplexes and their unit numbers are A through D, and some of them are 1 through 4. So we had to drive around and figure that all out so we would have all the proper addresses. But we're just trying to identify all of the issues that could be an issue if it's annexed, and hopefully we'll be able to address those in some recommendations for code amendments. But basically we've been, or at least I have been, eat, drink, and sleep annexation calls and mailing lists and notices. Yeah, she's been handling everything else for me, so I can just totally focus on this. But that's what's on the agenda coming up. Oh yeah, plus the smell. Plus that I got to drive around last week trying to figure out where this, what that smell was. It was not the sewer plant.
We haven't been able to determine it.
Yeah, we think it probably is the receding lake bed. As we went to a new layer of soil that hasn't ever been exposed to the air, and then it's blowing in overnight and settling in the low spots, and so until the wind picks up and clears the air out, that's what we're smelling, or until we get more water in the lake, or but it kind of smelled really briny and fishy, and it definitely was not the sewer treatment plant, because they were pretty glad for that, but they weren't happy that, I mean, they got lots and lots of complaints. Yeah, they are still getting blamed. But I don't believe it was the sewer plant based upon my my personal investigation when I drove around the city looking and smelling, but I couldn't identify it. I had the windows down and I'm driving around and I would, oh, I smell something. I would pull over and... And then I got to be on the news to say that's what I've been doing that day. So it was kind of funny. But that's your update.
Thank you for the update.
I have one more.
Okay. Yes, please.
In response to Commissioner Jorgensen's question. Nope, not Jorgensen. Holbrook last week. It threw me off because you're in Jorgensen's seat. Hold on. This is anticlimactic. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
The Planning Commission does not get free golf. Now I'm done.
to that end, what the City Council had decided was that in lieu of paying the golf committee a stipend, they would give them the golf passes, and then they gave stipends to all the other committees and increased your stipend from $50 to $75, and the chair went from $67.50 to $100 per meeting. So you got a raise, and you can go spend it on golf.
No.
You want to keep me around? That's what it takes. All right. Approval of the minutes from 9:27. Any amendments to the minutes? If not, we can approve them. Anyone want to make a motion on the minutes?
I'll move that we approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes from September 27th of 2022.
Thank you, Commissioner Tucker. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Commissioner Ward. All in favor say aye.
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 All right, and we are adjourned. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for being patient with the tech stuff.
See you all next time.
Thank you all. Sorry I couldn't be there in person. Looking forward to the next one.
Yep. See you guys soon. Thank you for joining.